Hello, guys. Welcome back to Tama Talk with John and I. So, what's up? What's up, man? What you thinking?
I don't know, man. Just really excited about the upcoming season, dude. Rays are killing it in spring training.
Yeah, I'm at that point in spring training, like we are every year, where you're like happy that baseball's back, so you're happy to watch spring training games, but also it's like, okay, let's get this over with. It's time to play some real meaningful ball.
That's dang right, man. I'm telling you. Honestly, I've been following it. I've had to watch some replays and stuff like that. But yeah. Raleigh is looking solid.
Yeah, and not only just the two homers he hit the other day, he's just looking very comfortable at the plate. That's a good sign. Like, I feel like last year boosted his confidence like no other.
Well, you know, I had this fear since they let, you know, his the guy he credits with fixing his swing, you know.
Yeah, after he left.
But he seems to be taking that. Plus, you got the best hitting coach in the world, Chipper Jones.
That'll be fun. And Ozzy went deep back-to-back with, let me think, who hit the first home run? This was yesterday. Somebody homered, and then Ozzy went back-to-back with him, so it's good to see him hitting well. Ozzy, you know, he always kind of, and also I've been watching his at bats, watching to see if he's hanging off that, like laying off that high fastball that kills him all the time. And he seems to be doing good in that regard too, laying off those pitches.
I swear, so that's a good sign. To tomahawk it, dude.
Yeah, well, it's a good sign. Like, hopefully he realizes that, you know, with his height, he's not going to be able to catch up to those high pitches very often. But, yeah, it seems like he's catching on to that. And, hell, if he starts to lay off those pitches, there's no telling what he could do.
So, you've been able to watch the games actually pretty much live. How's Ozuna doing?
Ozuna at first looked a little lost, but he homered. He got a bloop hit. That's the only two hits I've seen him have, is a homer and a bloop hit. I'm sure he's done a little bit more. He's took some walks. It's going to take him, you know, he's got rust on him. It's going to take him a little bit to get back into it. But,
well, he's been out of meaningful baseball for about a year. So,
yeah.
What do you expect?
I feel like he's going to strike out a lot and crush a lot of homers. I mean, that's just kind of the extent of it.
Well, that's just kind of him.
Yeah, and that's fine. Like, that's fine. That's kind of what baseball is nowadays anyways.
I mean, yeah, and that's one of my main things that just bothers me about the game is, of course, it's all about launch angle. It's not about trying to spray the ball all over the field, get on.
Yeah, and man, I'm sure if you're a Braves fan, ever since we acquired Olsen, you've probably been watching Matt Olsen highlights from the past couple of years. And man, like, you talk about launch angle. He's got that down to a science when it comes to, you know, putting the ball in the air. So he's very good at that. And I can't wait to see his first big blast, you know, on the top, on the roof of the chop house, because that's coming.
Well, I mean, you know, Truist is really a perfect venue for him to, you know, play in for a long term.
Yeah, I mean, the Coliseum's huge, and he was hitting 460 home runs there on regularly. Not just like out of the blue, but like every couple games hitting a homer like that. So, yeah, that's really – I can't wait to see it.
I mean, but and we were talking before we started the pod and everything about how Freddie's doing out in L.A.
Yeah. I watched him hit a homer, his first homer with them. And watched him around the bases, and I was just,
it was a little painful.
Yeah, it's kind of almost like torturing myself by watching it, but, you know, I just kind of had to see it.
I mean, you know, Drew put a lot of things in perspective for me when thinking about it, you know, about this could have been done.
What could have been done, what do you mean?
A deal could have been made if he really wanted to make
it. Oh, yeah, yeah. Man, I'm over it at this point. I really am.
But I'm actually impressed with AA. I like the Olsen deal.
Yeah.
I look forward to seeing what he does over the next 8 years. And I think he's going to give us a lot of entertainment.
Yeah, and I honestly think that Atlanta's becoming like a destination spot for players a bit. Like, people recognize that we have a really well-run organization, and it's only comparable to like the Dodgers. The Giants are a well-run organization, and I'm not necessarily talking about continued success, but just treating your guys well, developing guys well, and you know, people. There's been a lot of people on Twitter, Reddit, and all that shitting on Freeman and all that. But man, I'm just over it. I mean, I'm just happy that we got to see the things that we seen from him. We'll always have the World Series. I have no ill will towards the man.
Neither do I. And I'll say this, man. We got to remember the good times. And when he actually does retire, you know, I hope they do retire that number 5 in the outfield. Yeah. He deserves it.
In the outfield. Yeah, I gotcha.
Yeah.
But, he should be a Brave when he retires. Like, either way, I think he should be in the Braves Hall of Fame at some point. Even if he doesn't, you know, if he falls off a little bit and doesn't make it into the actual Hall of Fame.
I don't foresee that happening, though.
No, I don't think he's falling off anytime soon, because he's just built for continued success. He's just built like that. And, you know, the way he's practiced and performed his whole career, like, he set himself up for success. He's going to do well. But when the Dodgers come into town around mid-season, I expect him to get like a cheer and kind of a standing ovation for his first at bat or when he first comes out. And then after that, you know, he's just any other Dodger. Like, and then we'll be rooting for him to strike out when we're bit. I mean, that's just how it is.
Well, I'll say this. I think the Braves gave him an opportunity to where he can actually accept his ring during the series when they come to Atlanta. I think that's a class act on AA's part.
Well, I kind of wish that, yeah, but I kind of wish, you know, you'd think they'd already just have the rings and then do a ceremony afterwards. Like, you know, in the postseason, after the postseason, you won the World Series, you're out on vacation doing all this, and you want to have that ring on your finger when you're out, you know,
of course you
celebrating.
Do.
I feel like I've always wondered if they done that, but I guess they don't. Like, you know, kind of give them the ring early and then have the ring ceremony as just like a ceremonial thing. They've already had it, but I guess that's not the case.
I don't know. I mean, maybe they do, and then it's just kind of like you give it back for the day, and then we'll present it to you that night, you know?
Yeah, but, I mean, it's not like, you know how they'll make up World Series championship like hats and shirts before the World Series actually ends. They'll make them for both teams. You know, that's one thing, but these rings are customizable, expensive, like legit jewelry.
No, they're really expensive. Yeah,
so it wasn't like they were making Astros and Braves rings before the World Series was over.
No.
Yeah, that's the thing, that like after it's over, they make like kind of a customizable ring probably for certain players. Like, maybe it takes a while. Maybe it does happen, you know.
I mean, who knows? We really don't know. Yeah. But as you can see what I'm wearing today.
Yeah.
I know you guys can't see it, but I'm actually got my World Series championship on. So.
Yeah. I held myself from buying too much merch from the World Series, so I'm waiting until later to buy some after it's calmed down a little bit, not $35 per shirt.
So I you know, MLB had a good deal on, right? And I needed a new jersey shirt, right?
Yeah,
because
DH Gate, man, I'm telling you, the quality's not bad, and
no, it really isn't.
Yeah, and you could get like 10 jerseys for the price of one real jersey.
Oh, I know. Have you seen how much they cost on MLB?
Oh, I know, it's ridiculous.
There was one that was up to like $349.
DH Gate even had jerseys with the World Series patch on them for, you know, dirt cheap. But anyways, we're not advertising for DHK. Letting you guys know, though, that is, if you didn't know already, I'm sure most Braves fans probably already checked that site out. But, okay, one thing I noticed announcement-wise, because there's not a lot of announcements, most of the news is just how players are performing you know, in spring training right now. But opening day against the Reds, April 7th, will be exclusively televised on ESPN2. I don't even know if I have ESPN2. I know I got ESPN.
No, you got ESPN2.
I mean, I should.
You got the ACC Network on here, too.
Okay, well, I mean, so the thing is, the ring ceremony, all that, that supposedly Bally Sports, which we would normally be watching on with Chip and Jeff, I think they're going to do a two-hour preview, like pre-game before the game switches to ESPN2, and kind of get Chip and Jeff and Birdie and all them. I think they're all going to talk about it before the game actually starts, so we might kind of get our own little ceremony before we have to listen to the ESPN crew talk about Freeman going to the Dodgers while the Braves are getting the World Series rings. I guarantee you that's what's going to happen. They're going to talk about that the entire game.
Nonstop.
Yeah.
But is Smoltz announcing?
No, it was like it was Kerchick, Eduardo Perez or somebody, and another known name that we've heard before, but at least it's not A-Rod.
At least
or it's Mendoza A-Rod. Or any of that.
We'll refrain from saying what I want to say when you mention
that. But it's not a bad crew, but I just guarantee you that
it's the Braves
were well the Braves World Series, like the actual ceremony is on the broadcast, is gonna get overshadowed by them talking about the whole game. I know they're gonna be talking about Freeman. They're going to be talking about everything but the Braves actually winning the World Series.
Well, and what I want to say is, if you're at least going to do that, you at least need to have a former Brave on there like Smoltz. You really do.
Yeah.
I mean, I disagree with their choice in announcers anyways. Well, I mean, but
I just want to hear Chip and Jeff during the opening day.
I mean, just like we always do.
Yeah.
Except when the Braves were on Peachtree and it was Smoltz and Boog. But, you know, we basically have covered a lot with the Braves here on that. I think the pitching staff's looking good from some of the highlights I've been seeing. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Dude, a trade that completely was off my radar is Sonny Gray going to the Twins, and then kind of getting like, because it wasn't a signing, it was a trade.
Was it a trade and sign, or?
Yeah, it was a trade, yeah. And then they signed him for $38 million, 4 years, $12 million club option for 2023. So technically, you know, if he's not doing well, that it doesn't have to be a 4-year contract, but so.
Well, that's not bad.
But, that's a really good trade. The Twins recognized they needed some pitching to go along with, the new bats they picked up, like Correa, obviously.
Yeah.
And I like what they're doing, because they seen last year, last year was a big letdown for the Twins, because, I mean, they were kind of, the Braves were kind of on the same track, doing the same thing as the Twins were doing until the deadline, and we, you know, flipped the script. But my point being, we play the Reds opening day. At first, before I learned about that trade, I was assuming Sonny Gray would be the opening day pitcher for the Reds. But I guess that now lands on Luis Castillo. So it's Castillo versus Fried or Morton.
Huh.
Morton's the vet, but I feel like they're going to give the ball to Fried just kind of because he's guaranteed to be here a little bit longer. For some reason, I think it's going to be Fried when obviously Morton could do it, you know, just as well or better.
Well, that and also Morton's coming off an injury.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, he looked so good in his last outing, though, man.
Did he?
Yeah, he looked great. It really put my mind at ease, because at his age, coming off like a fractured and then torn, like a, what was it? His, not a tendon, wasn't like a muscle, it was like his literal fractured, you know, bone in his leg. Yeah.
It was the femur.
Yeah, so that's scary for someone his age, and the fact that he's already, you know, back. He picked up right where he left off.
I mean, they did really well. They didn't even, like, before spring training, they were saying maybe 2 weeks into the season that he wouldn't be ready for opening day, which it sounded like he might be.
Yeah, what I'm curious about is Acuna. Like, I know they're probably going to start him off DHing with Duvall in center.
I would certainly do that.
And even when he comes back, I'm pretty sure, like, even though Ronald can obviously play center field, I think they're going to keep him at right, Duvall in center, and then Rosario in left field with Ozuna DHing.
Yeah.
But, it's just interesting that, it's just interesting thinking about when he's going to be back soon, but I really hope that's not a mistake.
I don't think they're rushing him on this one. I think they've been really cautious with him, but like Drew said, that injury's a heck of a lot easier to come back from than, say, a torn Achilles tendon.
Yeah, well, it's definitely a better situation than Soroka's, and not to mention, like, Acuna, like, a month or two after his injury was in the clubhouse and then jumping around at the World Series and all that. Like, I feel like it's going to be okay. It's just kind of like my worst nightmare for, like, him to come back and then get re-injured just like Soroka.
Now, one thing, and I know we were kind of going on a different route with another team and all that, but this is where I'm kind of wanting to think about here. Is our bullpen.
Yeah.
The night shift.
Best in baseball.
Best in baseball, right? And, I mean, at first I was a little hesitant about this Kenley Jensen thing, but that's actually not a bad...
Well, here's the thing. It can't hurt.
It can't hurt to have depth. Yeah. That's for sure.
Yeah. And no matter how you feel about him, it cannot hurt to have him.
And he did have a resurgent year last year.
Yeah, no. He was kind of like a joke in the playoffs for a little bit, but... No, he's done well, and also, his playoff track record, I think we got to remember who's the one managing that bullpen for the Dodgers when he was there.
Dave Roberts. Horrible.
He's a good manager.
Great manager.
He cannot manage the bullpen in the postseason because he overmanages.
So, but since we're talking about the bullpen, you know, we came across some information with Jackson could potentially miss the start of the season.
Yeah, I think we'll live without him.
Well, he's, you know, he started feeling some right forearm tightness.
Yeah.
And they're just wanting to be careful with it. Yeah. You know?
Well, that's fine with me.
He is throwing again, but they're just not sure he has enough time to stretch out.
Yeah.
Which I'd rather them be safe with him. I know there's a lot of fans out there that, I mean, honestly, you still have it in for Jackson.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like he's just the weak link. He's still a great pitcher. He's still a great relief pitcher, but he's still
the weak link. He did pretty good last year.
No, he done good last year, but, like, playoff-wise, like, he was literally the only reliever that was giving up runs.
Well, and we do have... You know, like I said, Matzik,
who I'm really excited about is Colin McHugh.
I'm actually really excited, and he can actually be used as a starter if we need him.
Yeah, like I was looking at some rankings for relief pitchers from last year, and as far as like metrics wise and you know, statistically, he was like the second best reliever in baseball last year.
That's impressive.
Yeah, with the Rays, and man, I'm telling you. He's gonna be our high leverage pitcher. Like if it's the seventh, eighth inning, we got guys on, one out, no out. He's the guy coming in.
So now, rotation wise, where do you think we sit? I know Morton Fried.
I've been thinking about this, like in comparison, like comparing us to the Dodgers. Like obviously their lineup is the NL All Star team, but also. But also, I really do. We've got a way better bullpen than them, and we've also got a way. I think not way. I can't say we got a way better starting rotation, But I think we do have a better starting rotation than them.
No, I believe we really do have a way better starting rotation.
I mean, I wouldn't say way better because, like, Walker Buehler himself, like, you know, he's a Cy Young candidate type pitcher, especially during the regular season. Julio Urias, he had a great year before the postseason, and I think he was mismanaged as well and kind of, you know, I think he was drained by the time he was up there pitching.
And there was a little more.
And who knows what we're going to get with Kershaw, or they're going to get with Kershaw.
Kershaw, I don't know, man. I just
he's still going to be good. Like, you can't go wrong with having him. Kershaw is still
going to be good, but he's not going to be the Kershaw of old, not what they want. Not what their fans expect. You look at Scherzer.
Yeah.
The way they mismanaged him last year.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I mean, if it were me and I were him, I might have probably signed with Texas.
Oh, Kershaw?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I think he fits back with the Dodgers. I think he probably, that's probably what he wanted. But, yeah, I was thinking about, there's somebody I'm missing in their rotation. It's Buehler, Urias, Kershaw. Dustin May was hurt all of last year, but if he wasn't hurt, man, he was pitching real well. If I was the Dodgers front office, I would bring back Buehler. Or not Buehler, Bauer. Because, man, look, he wasn't charged with anything, and he's, like, one of the best pitchers in baseball when he's pitching.
I mean, even without the sticky stuff.
Yeah, I mean,
he can definitely pitch.
Dude, and his contract is, you know, high AAV, but low years. Somebody, if they do trade him, somebody's going to pick him up. Somebody that's, like, one good starting pitcher away. And already got a good lineup, and they just need one ace to really take the next step. Dude, the Angels, I would love to see him on the Angels.
Honestly, I would try out Otani. Yeah.
Yeah, and they're a team that could pick up that high AAV for the next 2 years, because I think it was like a 3-year signing for like 90-something million.
Oh, it was more than that.
He didn't get
it was like 40 mil a season. So I think, yeah, it was,
but
like,
I don't think it was over 100 mil though. I think it was like 90 something.
You might be right.
But either way, he's getting paid high AAV, you know, each year, more kind of like a 30 million a year.
Right, right. Let's just get 30 million. Yeah,
yeah. And that's about what he's worth as a pitcher right now. Or right now, I don't know. But
I mean, let's put it this way: he wasn't charged with a crime. You were right about that. He also kind of. I mean, he admits he messed up. I'm hoping he learned his lesson in this instance. But, I mean, only time will tell. But it's more about, will he be accepted back into the clubhouse, Hunter? You didn't see too many people coming to his defense when all this hit. And we've discussed it before, I think, you know, probably his teammates don't really appreciate him running around with his camera doing his TikTok stuff and Twitter stuff. I mean, you know, it's all in how he's going to be perceived when he comes back in the clubhouse.
Yeah, and I think that's the problem. Like, I think the Dodgers front office wouldn't have no problem bringing him back if it wasn't for how the players feel in the clubhouse. And that's reasonable. Like, the Braves would do the same thing.
Yeah.
But, and I'm not sure actually the extent of what he done, and I'm not going to go into that or nothing. Like,
well, we already covered that as well as you can possibly cover it with the information we had.
Yeah. So, if let's just look at his pitching and nothing else, and potential suitors, trade partners. Like, because if they don't, he's getting paid right now to do nothing. Like, eventually they're going to have to make a decision on what to do with him.
Well, you know Atlanta's not going to sign him.
No, not with Ozuna already out there.
And not to mention...
We're not going to do that. No. But I think the Yankees need another starting pitcher.
I wouldn't be surprised if the Cubs went after him in a trade deal.
Maybe. I mean, they did sign Stroman. they've got a, I think they're going to be better this year with these young players than they were with complacent players that were tired of being.
Well, that's because they're hungry.
Yeah, they're hungry, and that, and we've seen that last year with a lot of their young guys, like what was it, Swindell? Who else? They had like three or four guys that went off last year after they just got the opportunity. And yeah, they'll be an interesting club to watch. They're retooling, not rebuilding.
Agreed. I'm actually very impressed with. but you got a smart man at the helm too. You got Rossi. He knows his baseball.
Yeah.
But I'm gonna tell you, I think I'd like to discuss our rivals, the Phillies.
Yeah.
I mean, they're looking dangerous, man. But
yeah,
their pitching is looking, and their defense is looking very weak.
Well, yeah, I mean, today they lost 14-2 to the Yankees, and obviously it's spring training, so I don't put much into that. But Aaron Nola was on the bump for 3-4 innings. He got shelled.
And he's got an 80 ERA in spring training right now.
Yeah, he got shelled, and he also got shelled in his last outing. Not quite as bad, but... Noah's looking kind of shaky. Zach Wheeler, I believe, is injured for like a, because I've not been seeing him pitch for him. I think he might miss the first bit of the season. So Aaron Nola will be the one that
he'll be their
probably
ace.
Opening day. But yeah, when Wheeler gets back, I feel in he'll be consistent all year, and Nola will be there, but not necessarily consistent. Like, I think Ranger Suarez, who done really good last year, I think he steps up and kind of becomes their number two behind Wheeler.
Yeah. I mean, I think this is kind of that year for Nola where it's either basically nut up or shut up, because I think the fans there are really sick of him. The organization seems to be getting tired of him.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure their feelings toward him. I just know that he's very, like, one day he'll have a nine inning, like, he'll pitch beautifully for 7-8 innings, look great, and then the next day it's three homers by the third, fourth inning. Like,
yeah.
You can't tell with him. And he's also known to kind of break down around September or so in the season.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, you can kind of tell that's his point, like, where he starts to get tired and run down. So... I don't know. The Phillies pitching doesn't worry me. Their lineup is what's concerning, but like also the bottom of that lineup, like it's very top heavy. They have Alex Bohm, Didi Gregorius. Yeah, they got him, and who else? That Moniak. Like they'll have three like black holes at the very bottom. And defensive black holes at that, which is the even bigger problem. Alec Bohm at third base, like you've seen that last year.
Oh yeah, it was horrendous.
And Didi's not looking too great here lately, neither. But
well, as Drew put, that's why he's no longer a Yankee.
Yeah,
he's been on the decline at the plate and defensively for a long time.
Yeah, and I'm not sure if it's true, but he came out and said like he's been having this shoulder inflammation problem. And he said once he got the vaccine, it messed him up. But I don't know about that. Like, who knows? To be honest, he probably already had that going on. And it just happened to, you know.
Coincide
during the time he got the shot.
I mean, let's put it this way. I don't think that caused some kind of inflammation. I think that... he's had that, like you said, going on for a long time. He never really truly took care of it.
Yeah.
And it just got to the point where the inflammation got real bad. And like you said, just so happened to be around the time that he got the poke.
That's the most likely explanation. But
absolutely.
Who knows? But my point is, he's not going to be at his best, I don't feel like. But yeah, just defensively, let's see, Rhys Hoskins at first base. Or Kyle Schwarber. Somebody's going to have to DH. It might be Schwarber DHing and Rhys at first base.
I'm going to be honest with you. I think Schwarber's a better first baseman than daggum Rhys.
Well, neither exactly. Neither that great really good at first base.
I'd say Schwarber's a better.
They might swap out often, like kind of, you know, platoon.
Yeah, well, that's but with the DH. Well, yeah. So obviously you're both in lineup. Yeah, yeah. Just
well, they got to be both in lineup.
Yeah.
And see that's how you know the Phillies lineup is good when somebody like Rhys Hoskins is batting like sixth.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean. Yeah, man, they got a killer lineup.
They are dangerous. They scare me more than the Mets do.
I mean, Kyle Schwarber, he's been kind of getting better as far as hitting home runs and like his powers went up like as his careers went along. But Nick Castellanos, he's the one that really scares me. I was hoping he would go, like I heard, like possibly going to the Marlins. And even though they're a division rival as well, I was praying, like, please go there over the Phillies.
Yeah,
please.
No like, doubts, no doubts.
If anything, like, I kind of want to see the Marlins have a great offense just to see what would happen with their pitching. You know, yeah, even though I don't want to face it, but as like a baseball fan, I would like to see
it. Well, obviously. I got to say, Kansas City is definitely piquing my interest.
Well, see, they piqued my interest last year when they made a couple really good moves. And I thought, okay, well, they may be preparing for some contention. But then they kind of, they played good at the first season last year. Then kind of, you know, slowed down, went back to regular Kansas City mode. But what's going to be interesting about them is Bobby Witt Jr. is going to be coming up this season. And he has been tearing the cover off the ball. And, man, he's a really interesting player to watch.
Did you see what he said about one of our top prospects, man?
Who, Witt?
Yeah. He was talking about Michael Harris.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Dude, he was just singing his praises.
Well, yeah, that's good to hear coming from a prospect like him.
Oh, definitely, man. And if I'm not mistaken, and I could be wrong, I think him and Harris might have a little history.
Well, yeah, they must if he's speaking about him.
No, it was he was talking about Harris, but he also brought up one of our other prospects, Smith Sawyer. And he's a pitching prospect for us.
Yeah.
And the two of them actually played ball together from the time they were like 4 years old. So, I mean, there's obviously a friendship there, but... Yeah. He was really bragging about the kind of pitcher that Smith Sawyer was.
Well, dude, I'm kind of excited for the race, like our four or five spots in the rotation, the race for that.
Oh, yeah.
Because, man, between Wright, Yanoa, Tucker Davidson, and then my favorite, Mueller. Man,
Kyle Mueller is definitely my favorite to take that spot.
Dude, I was watching him throw gas the other day. In spring training, and man, his only problem is if he can just cut down on walks and learn how to like, you don't always have to throw it 102 mile an hour every time where you don't know where it's going. You know, sometimes trust your stuff, you know, scale it down a bit and, you know, just throw that slider, that change up in there.
Yeah, like, you got to mix it up a little bit.
Or slow it down just so you know where the ball's going. I mean, you're hitting your spots instead of just slinging it and, you know, hoping they can't catch up.
Yeah.
But, man, if not right away, I think they're going to turn him into, like, a real deal pitcher.
So,
Mueller's going to be fun to watch.
Since you've been watching more of it, I caught just a little bit where I seen Newcomb pitching. How bad is he doing?
To be honest, I haven't paid much attention to Newcomb. Yeah, I mean, to me now, his future's like a bullpen piece, like a, you know, just a lefty guy in the bullpen, like six inning guy, maybe. Well,
you know, I really had high hopes for him, man. Yeah,
I have for the past 4 or 5 years, it seems.
And like, I hate to see it, man, because he really does have potential. He just can't get over that mental. The mental hump.
Well, I think it's just the walks. The walks is what that's what derails a lot of pitchers. like good pitchers, just not being able to control the ball.
I mean, he's got the stuff. He just has to find that control, but he's out of time to find that control.
Yeah, Tucker Davidson actually had a really good three innings the other day as well, not giving up a hit in three innings. Struck out, I think, like five.
Didn't they have a no-hitter going through eight?
That was the very first game. Yeah, we had a no-hitter, and it got broke up by an error. Because, you know, they don't really call, like, everything's a hit in spring training. There's no errors. So, that's what it seems like. So, yeah, it was an error, but, I forgot who was in center field, like, couldn't see the ball. The sun was in his eyes, and it just dropped right beside him. But they got a hit after that. That also was arguably an error. But I was like, okay, at least they got a real hit. So, the spring training no-hitter doesn't, you know, go out, you know, like that.
With right, hair. Right.
But, you know, that was just me, first game. I was excited about that just because it was the first game back I got to see.
Well, that and the fact that the lockout was over, we were getting baseball back. Yeah, there was some excitement in the air. I was
embarrassingly excited about a spring training game, put it that way.
Well, there's nothing to be embarrassed about. We just went through a winter of hell, literal hell, wondering if we were going to get to watch our Braves try to repeat.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. And one thing I love, and some of the Braves players spoke about the same thing, is the fact that we've got new faces in there that are still hungry, and we've also got guys that were already on the team like Acuna and Ozuna that didn't get to be a part of that, that's going to be real hungry to get back to it.
Well, I think with our players, they're going to be hungry no matter what.
Well, here's the reason I think we have a real good chance to repeat is because, like, for one, I'm not sure what the playoff bracket's going to look like because, you know, since they're extending it to 12 teams.
Yeah.
So I guess just two extra wild cards.
Yes.
Okay, we're going to be back in the playoffs. And so that automatically gives us, like, if you know, like, 95, there's a 90 to 95% chance you're going to be back in the playoffs, then you've at least got that increases your odds of going back to back a lot.
And this time around, we have the experience, we have the hardware, we know what it takes to win it.
And hopefully have Acuna. Yeah.
You know, honestly, like I said, you and me, you and Jam have talked about it. We're just going to pretend like Soroka's not even in the mix this year.
Yeah.
And if he comes back and does something,
yeah,
great. But honestly, if Wright and Mueller step up, that's not really going to leave a lot of...
Yeah, I'm starting to not... Like, obviously, I want Soroka back. Just not even...
I want him to be able to pitch. Standpoint. I want him to be able to pitch, just to be able to pitch, yeah, so he can get, you know...
Well, like I said, not even from just a Braves wanting to have him in the rotation standpoint. He's a
good, as a human
young,
being.
Yeah, just a good, young, talented pitcher. Yeah. I want him to be able to pitch. I don't want his career derailed, you know, any further. But, like I said, Wright's looking really good. Tucker Davidson's looking really good. And Mueller's got a ton of potential. I don't think we had to worry about it, honestly.
I really don't either.
And, you know, we not even mentioned him. Like, to me, he's kind of like the third or fourth guy in the conversation for the
last two spots. Look, we have to ask ourselves with him, though, right? Because pre-broken hand, right?
Yeah, he was great.
He was amazing. But we have to wonder, is that just a fluke? Or is he that really that can be that dominant?
I guess we're going to find out. Because he'll get his chances, like, you know how it is. Once the season starts, people start dropping like flies sometimes.
Oh,
like,
they do. And I mean, we'll see. But let's go ahead and we're going to take us a break.
Yeah.
And we'll come back and finish the show. Hey, guys, and welcome back. So, Hunter, man, what we got left to talk about?
Well, first, I want to let everybody know we've got Twitter, Insta, and Facebook, all by the name of Tomatalk. So that's all you got to type in. No, no numbers or anything in the just Tama Talk?
Well, actually, with Twitter, it's at @talk_Tama.
Yeah, okay. So, but when you type in Tama Talk, you should be able to find us. If you like anything that you hear, like, obviously, we're up and coming. We've been learning. We've been trying to advance the podcast. If you can, if you're already on the, you know, if you're already on Twitter, Facebook, jump over there and, you know, subscribe, give us a like, do what you can. But also, we'd like to thank one of our subscribers, Jared Shaddix. We thank you for your input, for your ideas. And, yeah, we're taking your idea into consideration for maybe a future pod here in the next, maybe right before the season starts.
And I got to say, man, me and you, Jared, we actually talked about it, and it's real touching when you guys reach out to us. We really appreciate the feedback.
We take it seriously, like, yeah.
And it's a brilliant idea, man.
Well, we thought about something not exactly the same as he recommended, but similar. We thought about when we had nothing to talk about during like lockout. Like Braves
Rushmore.
Yeah, we thought about the Rushmore, which is a similar conversation. But, yeah, just want to throw a shout-out to, you know, some of the people that actually, you know, giving us some input,
so basically. Definitely thank you guys, and thank you, Jared. Appreciate you, and like I told you when we were talking, you keep listening, we'll keep putting it out there.
Yeah, and we'll keep giving you, put your input in, and we'll keep giving you a shout out if we like the idea. But okay, for right now, to close things up, I want to talk a little bit about our schedule. So as you know, we play the Reds first. We play them for 4 games at home. After that, we play the Nationals for 3. So that's a very good, we're set up for 7 games to potentially go on a good run to start the season. We got the Reds for 4, who got rid of Jesse Winker at Eduardo Suarez, their third baseman. They lost Castellanos, they traded Sonny Gray. Like, they're breaking their team down. We've got a good chance to at least take 3 out of 4 from them. Then we play the Nationals next. If we can take 2 out of 3 from them, I think there's a good chance we can go 5 out of 7 of this first homestand. But then after that, we go directly to San Diego to play the Padres.
Which, and, you know, not to stop you right there, but as me and you have discussed, I feel that I disagree with you at first, but the more I've thought about it, they are a different team without Tatis. They're dangerous, yeah. Don't get me wrong, but they are not as dangerous.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, that's so common sense. Yeah, they're not going to – if you don't have Tatis in that lineup, it's definitely going to hit them. They still got a lot of power and, a lot of potential in that lineup. But their pitching is what we're going to be looking out for. Like, I feel like their bullpen is weaker than it used to be. Their pitching's good. I'm curious to when Mike Clevinger might come back for them. But, okay, I'm looking at...
He was pitching in spring training.
Well, then he should be back soon. Here's the thing, though. This will be the 8th. When we play them, that'll be the 8th game. So, basically... Basically, we'll be matching up with, like, their 3rd starter to start the series, their 4th starter, and then their 5th starter. So, we're going to be matching up well, like, pitching-wise, as long as everything works out, you know, as planned. So, even though we're playing a good team in the Padres, we might be catching them right at a good time, and hopefully we'll be coming off a hot homestand. And then we play them for 4 games, San Diego. So we'll get their first start. We'll get probably on the 4th game, we'll get their ace, like, yep. Darvish.
That's a guarantee.
Or Snell. We're going to see one of them at least once. Yep. Okay, but after that, see, here's where I was wrong earlier. I thought we was going to meet the Dodgers later on in the season around the halfway point. We play them right after San Diego.
And it's
18th, 19th, and 20th of April.
At the Latrine.
Yeah. So we'll be seeing them pretty early in the season.
We got to hope to take 2 out of 3, but we definitely can't get swept. That would set a really bad stain on us.
No, we're not going to get swept. We need to, realistically, 1 out of 3 maybe in that series. But if, you know, best case scenario, 2 out of 3.
You're not getting the sweep.
No, we're not sweeping them. But I think we could very well do 2 out of 3. It's according to what kind of momentum we got going from these other games before. After that, we get an off day, and then we go back home, and then we got the Marlins for 3. And then we got another off day, and then we got the Cubs for 3. So, point being, this first month of April baseball, we've got a chance to start off really hot.
And I feel with our division, we definitely need a hot start.
I mean, yeah. Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, we really do got a chance to, like I said, start off 5-2, possibly. Yeah, we catch the Padres at the right time, maybe take 2 out of 3 out of them. Like, I feel like, let's see. How about the Phillies? Let's see what their opponents are.
You just put score. You should have put schedule, buddy.
Yeah. All right.
But, guys, I'm telling you, it's not brutal on our end, so there is the potential to really come out the gate hot. And I think that that's going to be... We just don't want to start out like we did last year. We don't want to be playing catch-up.
Yeah, I truly don't think that's going to be the case.
As long as everybody's healthy and we're not hit with the injury bug, I feel like we're going to be looking pretty good. But let's see.
Okay. That's spring training right
there. Yeah, but they don't start off on Friday against the Athletics.
Okay, so they start off with interleague play. That's interesting.
That is an interesting start. Okay,
usually we play them to start the season, it seems like.
It does seem like every year we get them.
Yeah. Okay, so their first 3 games, the Phillies, are against the Athletics, who, you know, it's kind of up in the air how they're going to be performing. You know, obviously letting go of Chapman, letting go of Olson, but they have kept their 2, you know, great starting pitchers. So we'll have to see what that. And then they play at home series against the Mets, 3 games.
Which, depending on how the Mets starts out, depends on who I root for.
and then they go on the road, play the Marlins 4 times. Which is
always a fight for them.
Yes, they've been losing to the Marlins for a couple years now. But the Marlins are a lot better team, but that offense for the Phillies may give them trouble. But also, you know, the Marlins' strength is pitching, so maybe they can...
Quiet it down.
Maybe they can... good pitching beats good hitting. You know, maybe.
Well, that and the factor that their offense isn't that terrible. I mean, they do have some up-and-comers, and not to mention if their pitching can limit the damage, they could definitely do some damage to the Phillies pitching staff.
Okay, they play the Marlins 4 times on that road trip.
Then the Rockies.
And then they play the Rockies. So, so similar to the Braves, they're going to have a potential... you know, the potential to kind of go off on a streak of their own.
They are really matching up against the Mets early twice.
Here's the thing that they, right after they play the Colorado Rockies on the road, they got an off day. Then they play the Brewers for 3 games, who's obviously a good pitching team. But then they get the Rockies again for 4 games.
So they've got a pretty easy schedule compared to us.
They really do. So, yeah, the Braves almost kind of have
to... They have to come out hot.
Come out hot.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
Man, they got a weak schedule.
Yeah, they do. They play the Rockies 7 times in, like, a very short period of time.
You wouldn't know they would have to... MLB would have to screw us like that.
Yeah, I don't think they necessarily screwed us. It's just... Let's see.
They just got McKinney Moore for Adam Haseley.
Yeah, to me, the Phillies, one of their best pickups was Corey Knebel for their bullpen.
I thought that was brilliant. That was
yeah,
a brilliant.
A lot of people forgot about that because that was before the lockout, I believe. But yeah. Yeah, I mean, and they also picked up a couple other guys, but the other guys are like a Familia from the Mets who's been like a disaster.
Oh, Royal.
He also had a domestic abuse case. But that was a while back ago.
That's also
so the Phillies got him and Herrera, Adubel Herrera, who hit his wife as well.
Oh Lord!
So yeah, every team it seems almost has somebody like that.
Yeah.
But that's another guy in the Phillies lineup that might be kind of a black hole. Not completely. He can hit a little bit, but defensively. I'm trying to think of where he ranks in my mind defensively.
It's not good.
It's not good, but it's not bad.
It's not like a train wreck.
No,
but
he's not horrible defensively.
I mean, you remember how highly touted he was when he came up.
Yeah. I think the strengths of the Phillies, their strengths are going to be JT behind the plate defensively.
Harper
and Segura. I'm thinking up the middle, like a. Somebody's trying to steal a base. Segura's over there, like in Real Muto's throwing, like.
Yeah.
Real Muto, Seager, Harper, and Castellanos isn't the worst defensive guy, like people say. Like, he's kind of in the same boat as Soler. Like, when Soler came over, we was like, oh, I'm not sure about his defense, but he done all right.
Well, I mean.
I think he's kind of in that same boat.
And they said the same thing about Ozuna. His defense was horrible, but Ozuna actually had. Pretty good defense for us when he, not last year, but the year before.
Yeah, he actually made a good catch in the last spring training game I've seen. But here's the thing, like, they may be able to catch the ball well, make good plays. The difference is they have no range, like, so there's a lot of balls they won't be getting to that other people would.
Whereas you have Duvall, who has range. He's not Ronald Acuna out there, but he's... Definitely got the range.
He's very reliable. He's very reliable, and he's not gonna be misplaying routine.
I'm just saying
pop ups.
You've got someone out there that can cover a little bit of the cut the distance down for some of the weaker fielders.
Well, look, Rosario's not gonna be like he made a bunch of good plays.
No, Rosario's defense is solid. It's fine.
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly how much range he has either, but he's very much playable out in the outfield.
No, he's fine. I'm talking about someone having to cover for
Ozuna. Well, until Ronnie comes back, I think Heredia, who by the way, he's been having a really good spring.
Really,
he's been hitting the ball all over the place during spring.
I mean, still, I don't. Really care. I just love to see him go around with the pirate swords.
I kind of hope Heredia is on the team, at least on the bench, and be ready to play the outfit. I hope he's on the team all year.
No, he needs to be on the team all year.
He's
so
a pretty
we'll
good hitter, too. So.
No, he's solid. He's solid. He's fast. He's very fast.
I think he only had like 5 homers for us last year when I seen that, and I seen that and I was like, I thought he had a little bit more than that. Like, but. If it wasn't homers, he's still hitting the ball. He gets base hits. And now that he's getting more playing time in the majors, like I feel like he's going to be a really solid piece for
you
us.
You can also utilize him as a pinch runner. He's very fast.
Yeah.
He's got Albie speed.
But I don't think we're going to have to worry about our bench this year like we did. And Alex Dickerson, we got him. He played for the Giants last year. He had a pretty good season for the type of player he is.
Right.
And, man, him, Heredia, that's going to be 2 good pinch pieces. Oh, yeah, I forgot Camargo is a Philly now. I watched him in his first at bat as a Philly. He grounded out and basically walked halfway to first base. And people were, obviously trashing him on that.
I am sure they were. I mean,
he had done that
in Atlanta.
So no, he did. Yeah, his whole mentality, like his whole persona just looked like lazy, like he didn't care to be there. Even if that wasn't the case in his head, like maybe in his head that's swag or that's his personality, but in reality he just looked like a lazy ball player for the Braves.
Yeah. He had potential.
Yeah, no. I feel like if he really went at it, yeah, he could hit the ball all over the field if he wanted to.
I also wonder what would happen if he hadn't hurt himself jumping over the chalk.
Yeah,
remember when he got injured? Because he was having a good season at that point.
Yeah,
and then it just seemed like that.
What was it, 2018?
Yes,
he had a solid season for us.
Yeah, it was a really solid season.
Well, a solid season for the type of player he is.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. I mean, he could get back to that. Who knows?
But he needs to get past that laziness. You can't just walk up the line.
Yeah.
You run every play out.
Yeah. You never know when somebody's going to make an errant throw or, I mean, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
But anyways, yeah, guys, there really isn't much else to talk about outside of just we're just, what, 10 days away? From baseball, a little less now.
10, yeah.
Yeah, maybe it might be eight. Maybe eight or nine at this point.
Yeah,
yeah, April 7th. Man, I'm already tired of spring training. I'm ready to see meaningful baseball.
So stoked.
All right. But guys, we're about to head out. Thank you for listening. Please subscribe where you can. And come back next time.